Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing our program as we take off on this Tuesday, November 24th, 2020 of Thanksgiving week, bringing folks together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Well, the situation across the country as the COVID infections continue to hit new heights, unfortunately, means that more and more schools are closing because too many teachers are quarantined or infected with COVID-19. So more and more of the school districts around the country are deciding to go to the virtual environment. So now it's up to about 40% of all school children in the United States are attending only virtual classes. Let's find out how things are going here in Arizona. Kathy Hoffman is the superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona. She joins us now on the live line from Phoenix. Kathy, how are you?
Doing well. Good afternoon.
Kathy, what is the situation? How many students in Arizona do you, what percentage do you think are in the virtual learning environment right now?
I don't have exact numbers on that. We are working on tracking that a little more closely. But I would say, by and large, the majority of our school districts are in a hybrid learning mode, meaning that a portion of their students are learning online and a portion of their students are learning in the classroom. We do have more and more districts doing virtual only or distance learning only. I am still very concerned about the impact of the digital divide in Arizona, because especially in our rural communities, there is not adequate access to internet or technology.
Yeah, and I'm worried also, and I know our listeners are as well, what we're hearing here in Tucson, that districts like TUSD say that they have lost track of hundreds, perhaps even thousands of students who, Kathy, are basically have fallen through the cracks. They have no idea where they are. This is a big problem.
It is. That is a statewide issue, actually a nationwide issue, that we are noticing that there are students who have not shown up for this school year, and especially when it's an online learning environment and when families don't have the technology or the internet that they need for distance learning. But there's also cases of mobility where students are moving away and we don't know where they went. So this is definitely an issue that worries me.
You know, adding to the confusion and stress of the moment, the metrics that are being used for the closure and the scope of the shutdowns diverge wildly, sometimes even within the same county. It is pretty hard, isn't it? I know you've got a huge job trying to sort all of this out. It must be very difficult.
Thank you for acknowledging that. Yes, it is a big job to be thinking about all of Arizona's students, schools, educators, and the staff that support our students. You know, we're particularly worried about the mental health of our students during this difficult year, but I do have a lot that keeps me up at night.
What about testing in this environment? Is this going to be somewhat of a lost year, Kathy?
Do you mean academic testing?
Yes, academic testing. How?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, we also have COVID testing.
Yeah, we have COVID testing. Academic testing.
So as of now, our schools have been administering their typical benchmark testing, which is a quarterly check-in that they do every year. And we are concerned, and speaking with school leaders, that they have seen that they have noticed that compared to last year when they gave their fall benchmarks, that they are noticing huge differences in terms of students not being where they should be at this time. In terms of our statewide testing, we still have decisions to be made at the level of the legislature as well at the federal level, because there are both federal and state requirements for state testing. And that's the state testing is how we can have a better apples to apples comparison across the board of where our students are at. And so more to come on that this spring. But for now, I'm very, very concerned with what I'm hearing, again, that our students just don't have the same kind of access to the high quality curriculum that they might. I know our, I mean, of course, our teachers are going above and beyond to provide innovative ways to reach students and teach them. But I do think that we're seeing a growing divide in when it comes to the students who have access and the students who don't.
Let's see if we can work a quick caller question in. Matt has called us at 790-2040. Matt, you're with Kathy Hoffman.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for everything you're doing, Kathy. I'm getting a lot of calls regarding the eviction situation, and also because unemployment benefits are going to be ending soon. Have you considered, again, discussing with Governor Ducey a moratorium on evictions statewide beyond the current CDC one? Because I think it would help stabilize families, and eventually that if a family gets evicted, that means that their ability to go to school, even online, is affected.
That's a really good point, Matt, and I do care deeply about our families, you know, having stable home situations, and that's something we can definitely address with the governor again. Another area we've been working on in terms of employment is, you know, we're very concerned about the staffing of our schools. We've seen more teachers resign this year because of COVID. And so in terms of our teacher shortage and even our other staff who work in our schools, like bus drivers or cafeteria workers. So we are trying to also work with the governor's office and the state on thinking about the unemployment issues and how can we all work together to be addressing the staffing needs of our schools and addressing the unemployment rate as a state.
We're on the line, live line, with Kathy Hoffman, Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona. This one story about Holocaust instruction didn't get a lot of publicity, but I'm very glad that the State Board of Education has added Holocaust instruction to required courses of studies. When will that be implemented, Kathy?
Yeah, we're very excited about implementing that as well. So it's going to be implemented very, very soon. I don't have the exact date on that, but we are very supportive of that. And I know that was in reaction to a bill that had been introduced in the legislature during the last legislative session, but with the session ending early, didn't make it all the way through. So it was really great to work with the State Board of Ed to get that into the rules.
Once we get students back in class and things return somewhat to normal, hopefully with the three vaccines coming online, maybe that can happen sometime in the early 2021, but there will be always a need on schools, campuses for safety. Could you give us a quick couple of high points for the safety task force, Kathy?
Absolutely. We were thrilled to release our school safety task force report. And so one of the big points out of that is that report includes a model school safety plan that is for our schools to be able to adapt. And one of the other points of emphasis in that is to have a multidisciplinary team approach when thinking about school safety, and that a huge component of school safety is the overall school climate, and that we want all students to feel safe and welcome in their school environment. So really thinking about the mental health components, the social emotional development of our children within our school environment. And so I'm very proud of the report. And one piece I want to point out too that I think is unique to our Arizona report is that within the report, if you read it, there's many places where you're going to find quotes from our Arizona students. And so I was really proud of our students and having an active voice in this process, because I know from my conversations with our students here locally that you can ask them and they will tell you very articulately what our schools need when it comes to school safety as well as for their mental health needs.
And before we wrap it up, one thing that will be very important when we do get the kids back in school and the classroom will be more mental health counselors and social workers. Boy, will that be a big need. It's a big need now.
Exactly. It's been a big need for a while, and it's a growing need.
All right, Kathy Hoffman, thank you very much, Kathy. I know you have a huge job, and hopefully 2021 will bring better and a more, shall we say, steady course for our public education in Arizona as far as getting kids back in the classroom. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you for having me.
This portion of the Buckmaster program brought to us with best wishes from Steve, the owner and chief baker at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. I made a big hit today here at the KVOI studios because very generous of Steve to allow me to bring in a Danish Kringle with almond paste. Let's open Shelley's Fishman's microphone there, John. So, because I offered Shelley and he gladly accepted one of those lovely Danish Kringle cuts. How was that?
Oh, it was terrible. It was just terrible. The worst thing. In fact, it disappeared. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, it disappeared very quickly, like all of the rest of the pieces.
It was delicious.
Of the Danish Kringle. And our point here is that this would be a great way to start your Thanksgiving holiday, Thanksgiving morning. Boy, would that be nice. Slice up a Danish Kringle. It's a flaky pastry that's from Denmark, and it comes in a wide variety of flavors. One of our favorites is almond, and it was delicious. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can still put in your order for pies and dinner rolls for your Thanksgiving table by going to monasdanishbakery.com. All right, Shelley Fishman's coming up next with a two thumbs up day on the market, actually an historic day on the street. We'll be right back.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Mr. Shelley Fishman, who enjoyed that Mona's Danish Kringle, and he is all fired up and ready to go on a red letter day for the financial markets.
Today the markets have, each one of them actually, the three major indices are in record territory, and it looks like they may close there too, which is really kind of interesting. We can call it the Biden bump.
Yeah.
If we like. I mean, we called the upswing in the markets after the Trump election 4 years ago. Mr. Trump took credit for that, and I think that was well-earned credit. The markets were very enthusiastic about having a Republican back in charge, and the markets showed their appreciation in the weeks after the election. Now the markets are seemingly just as appreciative of having a Democrat back in charge.
Markets love stability, and this could be the what you could call today the stability rally.
Yeah, it's the stability rally, and also what we're already seeing from the Biden administration to be are some really interesting appointments that, of course, need to be approved by the Senate. But for instance, if you take Janet Yellen, the former Fed chair, who is going to be the Treasury Secretary.
Real veteran.
Oh, yeah. There's nobody she doesn't know, and there's nothing she doesn't know about how to do what she needs to do. I mean, that's about as solid a nomination as you can get. The other thing that I think we're beginning to see, because of the closeness in the Senate, and of course that'll be determined in the January 5th Georgia runoffs, but the likelihood of pulling a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren out of their Senate seats is very, very low because they're both in states run by Republican governors. So I think the market was concerned about having people who have expressed fairly extreme views in terms of—
Too progressive, basically.
Yeah, too progressive, too liberal.
Yeah.
And
that apparently is not going to happen.
And we don't think that'll happen.
No.
Now, if the Senate remains in Republican control, then of course the risk of moving an Elizabeth Warren into an important position is far less. But I do think that what we're seeing from the market today and yesterday and actually in the 2 weeks prior has been a sigh of relief that has been kind of amplified by the good news on three vaccines, one of which at least will probably start being distributed in the month of December. So things look good. Now, that said, the economy is really sucking wind.
Yeah, it is.
I mean you know,
that's really putting it bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, I had to be careful. We're on radio.
Of course you have to be careful.
But
John's ready with the 7 second delay there. He was on top of it. Go ahead.
But What we're seeing in the economy is still approximately 8% unemployment. We're seeing GDP growth that has come back from the bottom, but still is nowhere near positive terms in terms of a year-over-year measurement. The people in the top leg of that K, that we talk about a K-shaped recovery, the people who have been doing well all along are still doing well. They're still working. They're okay. And if they have stocks invested either, through private investments or in a 401k, they're doing very, very well. The people kind of in the middle, it depends on who you ask and what their job positions were. Some are okay, some are not. And the people in the bottom are really hurting. So we need to have stimulus. We need to have Congress stop bickering and do something.
Driving in on Alvern on to the station this morning, there are a lot of people that are hurting. And that really was amplified when I saw a line pretty much around the block at one of our local churches mm-hmm. where they were giving food assistance today, a couple of days here before Thanksgiving, and there were a lot of cars.
Bill, this is something that is so hard to believe in this country.
Yep.
That we have people who are food insecure.
Yes.
That we have people living on the streets.
Yes.
That look, I'm as big a capitalist as you can find. Nevertheless, I believe that our government has some responsibility mm-hmm. to take care of its citizens.
Yes.
And we're just not seeing that as a consensus in how we run this country. And so we have, in a town like Tucson, we have an extremely large population of people who are in poverty
mm-hmm.
and who experience helplessness.
Maybe one in three, perhaps.
Yeah. And I just don't get it.
Anyway, it broke my heart to see that. But thank goodness there is a place that they could get some kind of food assistance for at least to have somewhat of a decent Thanksgiving. So what can we expect, Shelley, now with the Biden administration? And by the way, that is one other factor in this stability rally that I will call it. That played big here with the General Services Administration basically signing off and saying, yes, we're now going to begin the transition.
Right, that was important,
yes,
especially from
good.
A national security perspective.
Yes.
So what markets love is predictability and stability. Mm-hmm. What markets hate is unpredictability and an inability to look past the next week. So if markets begin to sense that rhetoric and you know tweets aside, that this transition of power is going to go relatively smoothly, that the people being appointed by the Biden administration are well-known people who are certainly not at the extremes, either right or left, and that the markets can count on America coming back into its place at the head of the table, if you will, around the world. I think we'll rejoin the Paris Accords. I hope we'll rejoin the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We'll almost, certainly take a close look at the tariffs restrictions that have been placed on certain items that affect Canada, for instance. I mean, it makes no sense. We need to make sure that our relationship with the EU and our NATO alliance is strong. Those are the kinds of things that make companies have a high propensity to invest. And what we've seen in the past 4 years is that companies have been flush with cash and reluctant to invest because companies weren't sure that this brave new world that Trump has tried to lead us into was a brave new world that would be good for business. We talked about it, but there was always that element of, well, I'm not sure how this is going to go, and how do you break apart a worldwide economy that is so interdependent? And we never got that kind of guidance from the Trump administration. As a result, when companies were given a tax break and when they had money that they could have reinvested at a very, very low interest rate, they simply bought back their stock.
Do you foresee a stimulus package in the early days, maybe even the early hours, of the Biden administration?
I hope it comes before then, Bill. I think
in a lame duck session.
In a lame duck session. I think, I understand why the Democrats don't want to include some of the poison pills that the Republicans want to put in their bill, but the cities and states need help right now. Individuals need help right now. We can do this incrementally if we have to, and I hope that the Democrats will go along with that. If they don't, then January 6th is going to be an important day, because if the Democrats do win both seats in Georgia, then they might just wait another 15 days to take over the leadership of the Senate and then do what they want to do anyway. And that would be okay, because we know we'd see, you know, potentially a $2 trillion bailout. One of the things I fear is these poison pills being left around the economy by the Trump administration. The most important one has been Steve Mnuchin's insistent that the Fed give back the $500 billion that was given to them by the CARE Act that they haven't spent yet.
Whoa.
So some of the ammunition that Powell has at the Fed is being taken out of his hand. He doesn't have a lot left because interest rates are always, already very, very low. So there's some uncertainty left. There's a long way to go. But the markets, at least in the past week or two, are showing some optimism, and so am I.
On that note, Shelley, on that optimistic note, the best to you and yours on this Thanksgiving. Thank you very much for everything you do for our program.
You too, Bill. Thank you for having me here and for letting me do this, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks very much. All right, we'll be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving 2020. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. You know, so many people are going to be alone this Thanksgiving. It would be a wonderful gesture, perhaps if you're in the area of Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Why not pick up a poinsettia? They've got some beautiful ones, thousands that they have grown. Pick up one or two. Perhaps there's a neighbor who is all alone and you don't feel comfortable inviting the neighbor over for Thanksgiving dinner. We perfectly understand that. But there is something you could brighten up their Thanksgiving. Just pick up a poinsettia, then take it over there, leave it at the front door, knock on the door, say, it's there for you, happy Thanksgiving, or call them up and say there's a surprise for you at the door. So it would just be a real simple gesture, but one that would be based in a lot of love. So check it out, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. All right, let's go now on the live line, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to one of our two dozen or so contributors, Ken Scoville. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on history. Ken, how are you?
I'm fine today. Yep.
Ken, these museum closings are very troubling. A lot of our history nonprofits are just barely hanging on. What are the two that are the most prominent that are really struggling right now?
Well, we were in process and was in the news, and you did an interview for it just 2 weeks ago. The Historical Society has had to close or actually pull out their funding and support and involvement with the Fort Lowell Museum and the Downtown History Museum, and let alone a lot of the museums in town are not operating. Sometime on my spot here, I'm going to make sure people know the museums that are open right now and would really appreciate your support. But to get to the two that's closed, they're a sign that much bigger things may come to happen with the Arizona Historical Society, which is our really long-term museum for all of Arizona, and may eventually get to a funding situation where they have to close both flagship museums in Phoenix and out in Papago, in Phoenix at Papago Park, and here in Tucson down near the U of A. So lots of things going on with the whole museum situation, not only in Tucson, but across the country.
The Fort Lowell Museum and the Downtown History Museum. Fort Lowell would seem like a natural, well, actually, the city, it would seem natural, hopefully the city will decide to pick up support of these two museums.
Right, and that's the hope, but we're going to have to take some other fundraising because everybody's walking around with empty pockets.
Yes. Ken, I want to spend some time here with you about museums that are open. Let's try to give some publicity here to the museums that are open because, let's face it, Ken, many people are off for a four-day holiday. Maybe the day after Thanksgiving would be a great time to visit some of our well-known museums that are open.
Sure. And I put together a short list of ones that are directly related to history, but obviously, you know, Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum is is another flagship museum. It has its own history in its way, but one of the things that maybe a lot of people aren't aware of is the Ignite Sign Art Museum in Tucson.
Which
and
one?
It's a fairly recent museum.
I did not know about this. Ignite Sign.
Ignite Sign Art Museum. It's on Olson, just a little south of the zoo.
Huh.
And it's dedicated to early signage in Tucson and neon signs. And a very interesting and very well done museum. And the person that really founder of it, and I'm going to fortunately not remember his name right now, but he's been involved with sign restoration and development of signs.
Hmm. And
they're open. All these museums that are open are practicing all the COVID restrictions and mask wearing and all of that. And so that's one of the evidence. That's a really interesting one. And you can go onto all their websites and see pictures and discover more. The Historical Society, the one on 2nd Street on Park, is currently open. The Presidio Museum downtown and the reconstruction of the Spanish Fort is even still doing, and again, small groups. They're doing some walking tours, different events. And they could certainly use your the support as all of them. Another one, and there was a spot on television lately, is one of the favorite places, is Mission Garden, which is the recreation and really bringing in all the heritage seeds so that you get a sense of our 4,000-year history of agriculture in Tucson.
That museum, that Mission Gardens, has really, they've really been growing. Could you give our listeners an idea of where they're located generally, please, Ken Scoville?
Sure. It's at the foot of A Mountain Sentinel Peak. As you can exit off the freeway on Congress, go west to Mission Lane, then you would turn left again going south. And then there's a narrow little street, and I knew you were going to ask me. I think it's called Mission Lane Subdivided or something. But you'll see this huge adobe wall encircling all of it. And it's based on the archaeology of where the original Mission Gardens was. So that is built, best as we know, on the footprint of the original wall, all out of adobe. And it encloses 3 acres, and they've recently put in an acequia irrigation little irrigation canal. They have a nice education center. It's just a wonderful experience.
So, boy, that would be a great outing this weekend. Perfect weather.
Fine and outside and all of that.
Yeah.
And another one is the Southern Arizona Train Museum, which is at the train depot. Now, it's interior, but they're also practicing all the social distancing and mask requirements. Arizona State Museum, with all the archaeology and Native American artifacts, and I think they have some limited hours, but that's in the building on the U of A campus. The one I was there, I think 50 years ago, that was the library. But it's a grand building in itself. Tucson Museum of Art is open, and part of its connection with history is it has several landmark adobe structures. The Edwin I. Fish and Hiram Stevens houses are the largest single-story adobes that ever existed in Tucson. And then I think you had somebody on fairly recently from the Pima Air and Space Museum. There's another wonderful outside experience. And then another one that maybe a lot of people don't know about is the Franklin Auto Museum.
Where is that? Where is that one, Ken?
It is on Campbell, just a little between Fort Lowell and Prince, and then west. And it's actually in the neighborhood. And I can't remember Richland. It's Richland Heights.
There you go.
But it's a great collection of beautifully restored Franklin cars, including, and they also have the car, and I don't think it was a Franklin, that Isabella, in your moment, at Arizona Inn, her car is there.
Isabella Greenway.
Yes, thank you. Isabella Greenway. Her car is there. So it's a wonderful, surprising little museum. And I checked again today. It indicates that the Jewish History Museum is still closed. But, you know, sometimes you've got to update yourself and check on their website.
All right. What about De Grazia? They've just reopened.
Yes, they're reopened. And I know they had to restore part of the chapel as best they could, you know, after the fire. But that gives you such wonderful, you know, folk history and Ted DeGrazia and all his great artwork. All these places are just unique places to Tucson. And one other thing that I think all of us need to think about, and maybe we don't, either the buildings or the things they have inside or stored are primary resources. You can read about history, but the experience of actually seeing these either artifacts or buildings, there's nothing else like it. And just one example I always love to give people, a lot of people have gone to the Air and Space Museum, and when you walk in the door and you see the Spirit of St. Louis suspended from the ceiling, or you look at the Mercury capsule, it makes history real. It brings it to the present so that we can understand it at a much, much more emotional and important level.
Yeah, the Air and Space Museum, the highlight for me is they have the SR-72, the Blackbird, that was kind of the spy plane back in the 50s and 60s. That thing would fly, I want to say, like, you know, suborbital level, but they could fly out of their home base here in the U.S. and be over Russia in a couple of hours. I mean, it was really amazing. There's so many wonderful resources. And now, Ken Scoville, more than ever is the time for local people to support these museums, because the tourism is off. So let's get out there and do it.
Yeah. And what I've done, and I think we were visiting about this the other day, is renew your membership. Don't wait until they
good
open
idea.
Again, because it might not open.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Very good. Thank you, Ken Scoville. Have a happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
You too. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Our historian, Ken Scoville, with some really good ideas about some local museums to visit over this four-day weekend that's coming up. Coming up next, Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. We'll continue with our tourism theme with our kind of monthly tourism update from Dan right after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving 2020. This portion presented by one of our longtime friends and supporters, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We've sent so many of the Buckmaster Show listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment over the last 10 years of our radio program, and they want everyone here in Tucson to know that these may be very hard times right now for New Mexico and really pretty much the entire United States because of COVID, but they will someday, hopefully very soon, be ready to welcome you back to New Mexico. You can start your planning, though, right now, southwestnewmexico.org, for a full listing of great places to stay and so many wonderful outdoor recreations like visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Let's visit now with Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson for his monthly Tucson Tourism Update. Dan, how are you?
I am all right. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I see a soft rollout happening in your industry, in the tourism industry, and I think it's very significant that our friends in New Zealand, I see they've come back now. They call it 100% pure New Zealand. That is the country's tourism operation. They've come back on Facebook. And what this tells me, Dan Gibson, is they are looking ahead with three vaccines coming online. They're looking ahead to 2021. As they say it, they're wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving in America, and they say, see you soon. I think this is very indicative of what the tourism industry is focusing on now, 2021.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think especially in the United States, you know, the concerns about Americans' concerns, deeply reasonable concerns about contracting COVID-19 in recent days. You know, I mean, you're looking at, there's a weekly survey by an organization called Destinations Analysts, and they look at, you know, perception and behavior. And, you know, people very much believe that the pandemic is getting worse now, but they do believe it is going to get better in the sort of, I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? I mean, I think the vaccines and all that stuff is starting saying, like, yes, right now is not a great time to travel, but that time is coming sooner than we might have most recently believed. So you're seeing the sort of high excitement levels for potential getaways immediately have dropped significantly, but openness to travel in the long term is sort of getting a little bit more regenerated. So it's this really mix of positive news that something is coming around the horizon, but that has, I think, dampened people's enthusiasm for travel immediately because it does say, okay, well, I do see something coming, but it's not now.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. And when we're hearing with these very three, you've got three in the arsenal of vaccines that are over 90% effective, people have heard the rollout could be coming in a couple of weeks. Certainly healthcare workers, perhaps folks over 65 will be first in line. But there's a lot of optimism, Dan, that by the spring here, America is going to really have turned the corner. And that's not that far away when people start thinking about, gee, I missed a vacation in 2020. I'm certainly going to start planning right now. And there's nothing that says you can't do that. And people are doing it.
Yeah. Absolutely. That same destination survey said that 80% of the people they surveyed, and it's a pretty massive survey, 80% of those people have at least tentative trip plans for 2021. They have some sort of plan in their head that they're going to do something. The catch is that a third of those people, they're looking at May 2021 or later. That's a little bit of a challenge for us because, you know, as most people might realize, May is not peak Tucson, as it goes, and it sort of obliterates a lot of like what we would consider our peak season, you know, January through April. So, I mean, I think it is still that catch of sentiment. You very much hope, I think, across the board that Thanksgiving weekend does not lead to a surge in cases. I think it almost certainly will, but you know, you hope that people take precautions, they make the right choices, that they keep things under control here in the next couple weeks, and that we can start seeing positive things, you know, see that those numbers go back up, that people feel more comfortable, that they feel less threatened by the pandemic immediately, right? That, you know, that 60% of American travel said they wouldn't be able to fully enjoy travel right now.
Right.
I think a nearly 50% of them said they'd feel guilty about it, right? This is not the situation we want by any means.
No.
People to fully have an expression of what the city is like, that they can have a great time, and that they can feel willing to share it, right? Like that I've heard of people talking, journalists talking about travel, and they're like, their friends are like, well, don't share pictures on Instagram, right? And that is a part of what people's expression of is that they want to tell their friends that they went somewhere and they want to have that collective experience. It isn't now by any means, right?
Right.
You sort of hope that the numbers get under control again, that we can see a little bit of travel in December, that people can feel comfortable around the you know, major holidays. And then January on, people might start feeling that increase in consumer confidence will grow.
All right. Messaging is going to be so important in 2021. Well, let's face it. Messaging is always the most important thing in your industry, in tourism.
Sure.
That message is going to be outdoors, and that's going to be continuing on, I think. That's not going to go away even after we do get the pandemic under control. Wouldn't you say that Tucson is very much positioned as an outdoor destination?
Oh, for sure. We're going to be talking about Saguaro National Park and the state parks and the national monuments and all, you know, this collection of great outdoor spaces. It's absolutely what we're going to be talking about all through 2021. I think you'll still see that deep focus on sort of urban light travel, you know, that you can still have the amenities, that you don't have to put together. You don't have to like go camping necessarily, but that you can stay in a great place, but you can still be separate from people.
Sure.
That sort of thing. I saw, you know, we talked about this a little bit, like New York was sort of ringing the panic button. I don't think we have to ring it quite as severely. We do have great assets in that space. And you're seeing it for us, especially on what I do, journalists are asking like, well, you know, what about the guest ranches? Like how much do you see people at the guest ranches? Like mm-hmm. That's very much people's concern. It's realistic and makes a lot of sense. So that's what keeps me sort of with a cautious smile on my face, is that we still have something definitely to offer people. And the sooner we can offer that to people in 2021, the better.
All right, Dan Gibson, my wishes for you and your family, your lovely family, for a very happy Thanksgiving. It's certainly a different Thanksgiving than we've become accustomed to, but it is Thanksgiving and we all have our blessings. Thank you, Dan. You're one of my blessings.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson, with us on the Buckmaster Show as we wrap it up for this Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow on Thanksgiving Eve. Adelita Grijalva will be with us, supervisor-elect, and it's always great to sit down with Father Robert Hendrickson of St. Philip's. He'll be with me for a half an hour tomorrow to talk about this very different Thanksgiving and our many blessings. We'll be seeing you tomorrow at 12:04. On behalf of my buddy John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.